You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation? Welcome to the Locked On Saints podcast, your daily podcast covering the New Orleans Saints. We are brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, where you get to hear the local experts on the biggest stories, your team every day. I am your host, Ross Jackson, and I want to extend a big thank you and welcome to our new listeners. Whether it's your first time or your next time, I always love hearing from everyone that tunes in, reads, and follows. So know that you can hit me up on Twitter at RossJacksonASC, and of course, the ASC stands for AllSaintsConsidered.com, where you can find my, as well as other talented writers, articles, and podcasts, your source for up-to-the-minute Saints news, opinions, and analysis for Saints fans by Saints fans. And y'all, we are coming up on this Saints at Falcons game. So I'm going to give you my final thoughts on the game, including some input from the Saints subreddit. And then because it's Friday, we're going to shift gears in our second segment over to our usual eye on the enemy like we do every week. And this time I also brought in some input from the Falcons subreddit. And then we're going to wrap it all up by taking a look at the biggest news from around the league to help get you ready for week three, which has already started off with quite a bang. All that and a little bit of Lanyap here on Locked On Saints. Oh, real quick before I get started, I got just a couple of little shout outs that I want to do real quick. I want to give a shout out to Houdat Boy on Twitter at Houdat014, another one at DeBossJohn, and then another to the homie Jared Lauro. Always hit me up, man. I appreciate you. At JVLAURO on Twitter. And then also Rusty Munson hit me up as well. I really appreciate the kind words, homie. That's at Rusty Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N. So make sure y'all, you know, keep the engagement coming, man. I really appreciate it. Like, I love all the conversations we're having at DeBossJohn and at JV Lauro. Yesterday and I were talking about Antonio Callaway, Ken Crawley, what that matchup was, Patrick Robinson, where he fits in, all that stuff. So like that's really dope. Like, I really appreciate all that. I'm here for y'all and I'm here because of y'all. So please keep it up. Hit me up anytime, man. I appreciate y'all. I love having that that connection with everybody. So thank you. All right, let me get back on track. But I needed to shout out the homies real quick. So every Friday, I usually use this as an opportunity to sort of like tie up any loose ends and stuff like that. Sort of final thoughts on the game. I had a really great conversation with Aaron Freeman on Wednesday, where you heard a lot of keys to victory, getting pressure on Matt Ryan, the Alvin Kamara matchup with either Duke Riley or Ricardo Allen, Michael Thomas, potentially taking advantage of the slot I talked about yesterday, as well as special teams and special teams coverage yesterday. So the one thing that I feel like I never really entirely got to touch on just yet was run defense for the Saints. If you watch the Carolina and Atlanta game from this past weekend, from this past Sunday, you can see that run offense for Atlanta was huge. Even without Devontae Freeman, they had Tevin Coleman and Southern Miss rookie Ito Smith. They combined for 170 rushing yards. So right now they're tied for fifth, the Falcons are, in yards per carry, their offense. The Saints defense, however, is tied for fourth in yards allowed per carry, allowing just 3.4 yards per carry, while the Falcons offense has been picking up 4.9. So, I mean, some big players in that, Marcus Davenport, DeMario Davis, interior defensive line, whether it be David Onyemata or Sheldon Rankins, all of the, you know, even AJ Klein played really well against the run last week. Manti Te'o has always played well against the run for us. He was huge. He was pivotal in the home game that we won Christmas Eve against the Falcons last year. So run defense is going to be big. But in terms of loose ends and things like that, that's kind of the only one that I had that I felt like I really needed to address and tie up. So I took to the Saints subreddit. That's reddit.com/r/Saints. This is Houdat Nation subreddit. And I hit up people asking the question, what are you looking forward to against the Falcons? This was in addition to my tweet about bold predictions, and I've been retweeting some of those and everything. But over here on the subreddit, I had somebody, Wiley Rocket Centaur 1. I love Reddit usernames. These just never get old. I hope to see the defense and the offense rise to the occasion, win or lose. The Falcons bring out the best in us, except for the 5-interception game in 2012. So if the slow start right now is due to poor effort, I'm hopeful that this matchup will inspire improvement in our effort. I think that's a great point. I don't know if a lack of effort has really been the overwhelming issue in the first two games. It hasn't been like, you know, it's not been coverage issues. It's not been not, you know, going out there and not playing. I think for the most part, as Marshawn Lattimore cited, is that it was technique issues. It was just issues with getting into the rhythm of the game and everything. The lack of contact practices factors into that. The, you know, because the CBA a few years ago limited the amount of contact practices you could have, full contact practices you could have before the season began and even throughout the week. And so a little bit of that and knocking off the rust and everything is a part of that. But what I feel here, what I do feel here is that, you know, while it might not necessarily be a lack of effort, there's definitely going to be an increase in inspiration coming into this game against the Falcons in Atlanta. I think Wiley Rocket Centaur 1, I love these names, is right. I mean, I think that it's going to inspire some improvement, as he says, or as they say, inspire an improvement in the effort regardless. And you know, the other part of it is that the Falcons do usually bring out the best in the Saints. That's what rivalries do. Good rivalries bring out the best in both teams. That's why you always want both teams at full strength, when, you know, when they're meeting up and when they're competing with one another. Then the other really nice comment that I got was from DJ McIntyre, user DJ McIntyre, winning. Yeah, I agree. But also seeing if our DBs can improve a bit more and do well against the Falcons passing game. Also seeing if our run game can do something with Debo and Neal out. That's referring to Deion Jones and Keanu Neal both being out. Lattimore and Julio matchup should be good if Lattimore can get back to last year's form. He looked pretty good last week, but Julio is a whole new challenge and the Falcons are going to be looking at the Bucs game to see how they can exploit. Great points all around. Big time need for improvement in the secondary from week one. From week one to week two, there was improvement. From week two to week three, it's reasonable that we should expect to see more improvement. Marshawn Lattimore is quoted today talking about how it's embarrassing to be at the bottom of the league, and they just don't want to be remembered for being one of those defenses, and so they need to rise to the occasion. This is the week to do it. This is the week to do it. You've got Julio Jones, Mohamed Sanu, I'm not too entirely concerned about, but he does tend to make plays against the Saints, and now the added element of rookie Alabama wide receiver Calvin Ridley, along with that backfield that might not have Devontae Freeman, but is still extremely capable of making plays and in getting involved in the passing game. Austin Hooper tends to find himself in the passing game as well, but I'm scared to say this out loud, but our defense against tight ends has been much improved over these first 2 weeks than last year or any of the years prior. So that's nice. So I agree 100% DBs improving a bit more, like continuing the improvement that they already showed from last week. I don't want to diminish the improvement from last week. And then also seeing if our run game can do something with Deion Jones and Keanu Neal out. You know, the Saints are pretty close to the bottom. I can't remember exactly what it is, but they're sitting at 105 rushing yards only for these first two games, and not a ton of attempts at all because they've been playing from behind so often that, you know, they've been airing it out, even though Drew Brees has only thrown 80 passes so far this season. So he's not really throwing his arm out, but it's just the position from which they've been playing has limited the run game. So this is an opportunity now for the middle of that Falcons defense being weak. If the offensive line can hold their own at the first level and then get to the second level, that should open up some big running lanes for Alvin Kamara. Jonathan Williams hopefully will get some more carries because he hasn't really gotten much of a chance. He's got -1 rushing yard so far in these last two games. And even if it's possible to get Mike Gillisley alive and active, then that will work too. He had some nice runs last week, starting to look a little bit better, held on to the ball, so that's what's really most important. And then the Lattimore and Julio point just goes back to the DBs. This is exactly the time that you want your star locked down to get in his groove, because right now he's coming up on Julio Jones, and then he goes back to back straight to Odell Beckham Jr. once we travel to New York. So, all right, those are the ones that I wanted to talk about. I thought those were great comments. We had some other ones too that were kind of funny and things like that, you know. So I think I'm going to keep doing this every week. So if y'all are subscribed to that subreddit, make sure that y'all hop on there. I'll probably post on Wednesdays to get everything ready for Friday. So thanks to everybody that contributed with that. That's going to do it for right now. Once we come back, coming up next, we will be talking about the Falcons fans and what their subreddit had to say as we move into our Eye on the Enemy segment, and then we'll come back and wrap it all up by looking at some news from around the league. Fantasy football is officially underway, and we have two fantasy football shows to help you. First, Locked On Fantasy Football 24/7 gives you the latest news, waiver suggestions, and injury news. And then Locked On Fantasy Football is now Locked On Fantasy Football Experts with amazing guests every day. Monday, Tom Kesenick; Tuesdays, Eric Edholm; and Wednesdays, Jeff Ratliff and Tyler Lochner. All right, y'all, welcome back. As always, I'll wrap up today with news from around the league, getting you ready for this week three. But first, I want to jump into our Friday segment, An Eye on the Enemy. I hit up the Falcons subreddit, that's reddit.com/r/Falcons, and I got some feedback from fans and writers and people that are all a part of their community over there, just like I did for the Saints. And so I want to jump into that and discuss a little bit about what the Falcons community is looking at coming into this game. So the first and most upvoted comment that I got was from Stuffed_Shark. Love these Reddit names, I keep telling y'all. What to look for on defense? Can Casey play well, and can Duke Riley get better? Can Vic Beasley not be invisible? What to look for on offense? Continuing to be effective in the red zone. I'm going to start there. They actually broke this down really well, so I'm going to just start with those two. For certain, for us watching this from the Saints' point of view, we're interested as well in whether or not Casey can play well or Duke Riley can get better. Monte Casey got ejected in last week's game after a late hit on Cam Newton after a slide, so there's not a lot to really look at in terms of what he's been doing on the field. We just hope that, you know, he doesn't take that same shot again against Drew Brees, but I doubt he will. He got fined for that and everything. And, you know, he got in trouble. So, I mean, I'm sure that that will keep anything like that from happening again. Duke Riley, who is a former LSU Tiger, stepping in for Deion Jones, or is now in the rotation because of the loss of also fellow LSU Tiger Deion Jones. So whether or not he's going to be able to match up with Alvin Kamara, I'm pretty sure, as Aaron and I discussed last week, that or earlier this week, that they're going to do what they can to get Ricardo Allen lined up on Alvin Kamara and have him covering, as opposed to putting Duke Riley in that situation. Whether or not Vic Beasley can be invisible, that's a week by week thing. I think Vic Beasley is a great talent, but sometimes he just doesn't show up. So I understand that. And then what they're looking for on offense, continuing to be effective in the red zone. Our red zone defense, the Saints' red zone defense against the Falcons, has been, I don't want to say it's been incredible, but has been a very important aspect of the game. You can look at the Christmas Eve game from last year, and you can see that the fumble at the goal line, the goal line stands, things like that. So that's something that the Saints actually work really, really hard on, is their red zone defense. And, you know, they've allowed a couple of scores in the red zone so far this year, but Atlanta struggled a lot week one against the Eagles. I think they went 1-for-5 in the red zone and then turned around and went 4-for-4 last week against the Panthers. So it just depends on which of those red zone offenses shows up. And then, of course, which red zone defense shows up for the Saints. Some important matchups: Grady Jarrett against an O-line that often collapsed in the middle and gave Ogunjobi a lot of playmaking opportunities for the Browns. Julio and Lattimore, obviously. Yeah, I think that the interior offensive line has to hold up. Max Unger had a really tough game last week, which was kind of out of sorts for him. So I'm looking at him to bounce back. And, you know, Grady Jarrett is a big test on that defensive line, so definitely being able to lock him down is going to be very important for that Saints offensive line and trying to keep Drew Brees clean. Lattimore, Julio, we talked about already. Who needs to step up? Duke Riley, or we will get killed over the middle if he isn't playing any better. Yeah, I think the middle of that defense right now is going to be a target for Drew Brees. Drew Brees is really good at carving up, you know, anywhere on the football field, really, but he's particularly very good at taking advantage of soft zones and things like that up the middle. And then more than likely, as Aaron and I talked about on Wednesday, the Falcons might be playing a lot of man coverage, which is another opportunity for Drew Brees to work his magic. And, you know, matching up on Michael Thomas man-to-man, You might have a bad time. You might have a bad time. Keys to victory: keep Matt clean. Yes, of course. Spread the ball around. Absolutely. On defense, get to breeze and contain the short passes, especially to Kamara. Alvin Kamara has an amazing talent to turn 4 yards into 12, 4 yards into, you know, he turned no yards into 75 against the Rams last year. So yes, absolutely for them, they're going to be looking at containing Alvin Kamara. And on our end, from the Saints' end, they're going to be looking at getting Alvin Kamara as involved as possible without putting him in a position to get hurt. I mean, again, he's had 19 touches for the last two games. It's going to be around there again, unless Jonathan Williams or Mike Gillisley is able to step up. But, you know, the intent is not to play from behind in this game, of course. USS Babineau, USS underscore Babineau is another user that commented, "With Debo out, I'm not sure if they're going to be able to cover your running back. Our games are usually close, so I'm sure that this one will be as well." Absolutely. I think this is going to be a pretty close one, too. I think my score prediction was something like 27-24 and, you know, in favor of the Saints. And then Aaron's was 28-23 in favor of the Falcons. So, I mean, we're looking at this to be a pretty close game. And absolutely, again, the Deion Jones being out is a huge deal for Atlanta. And, you know, on the positive side, it's a huge deal for New Orleans as well. Cax Marnick is another user that commented, "On defense, we will need to see if our depth can step up. On offense, we'll be looking to continue our effectiveness in the red zone from last game and prove that it wasn't just a one game fluke." And then one other person, Punt underscore Cunters. I love these. "Can Matt Ryan connect with Julio on the deep ball?" That is a big question. I mean, can he get open deep is going to be one thing to look at for sure for the Saints perspective, because obviously you want to limit that. Marcus Williams is probably going to be shading a little bit over to his side of the field. Marshawn Lattimore is going to be working his tail off to keep him untouched and at least keep him out of the end zone. I think that that's one of the things that Marshawn Lattimore got a lot of credit for last year, was that he kept Julio Jones out of the end zone, even though, if I remember correctly, there was a game to where he had like 150 receiving yards, but he never let him into the end zone. He literally had the one to where he tackled him out of the end zone to keep him out. So that's going to be a big part of it. So him getting open downfield is going to be huge in terms of the focus for the Saints. And then from that point for the Falcons, the focus is going to be, can Matt Ryan get him the ball deep? And then can, you know, Julio Jones take advantage of that? The question about continuing the effectiveness in the red zone remains for the Falcons, of course. And, of course, the Saints want to limit that. And then, of course, can the depth step up on defense? They're referring again to Keanu Neal and Deion Jones being out. And now, potentially, he was limited in practice today. Takaris McKinley, one of their better pass rushers on that defensive line, if he ends up being out, that makes the assignment of containing Grady Jarrett a little bit easier, quote unquote, just because you don't have to pay as much attention to Tack McKinley as you would have to pay when he's on the field. And then, but that gives Vic Beasley the opportunity to step up, or the motivation to step up. So, I mean, that whole question of who's missing and who's replacing is going to be big time for the Saints to pinpoint and take advantage of. All right, y'all. So that's all I've got for the Eye on the Enemy. Thanks so much to everyone that contributed over on the subreddits, people that sent me some tweets and everything. I appreciate y'all. Thanks for reaching out. Stick around, because coming up, we're going to take a look at the league's biggest news from around the NFL. And I'm going to tell y'all about the nation's new favorite quarterback, or not. You either love him or you hate him. I love him. The Locked On Network is expanding with college shows coming this week. Locked On Wolverines, Locked On Buckeyes, and Locked On Seminoles. Plus, we are already locked on the Ducks, Nittany Lions, Bears, the Crimson Tide, the Wildcats, Razorbacks, Volunteers, and Cougars. Find your favorite college show on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or Spotify. All right, Who Dat Nation, welcome back. It is now time for us to take a look at some news from around the league. And I'm just going to start right off talking about Baker Mayfield. Last night, the Browns won their first game in, I think it was 19 contests. Just an incredible moment for Cleveland. Yeah, 19-game winless streak. They snapped it last night. An incredible moment for Cleveland, an incredible moment for football fans. I mean, there were people on Twitter that I know aren't even Cleveland fans that were stoked about this. I was stoked about them winning, and I was particularly stoked about them winning with Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield came into the game just a little bit over a minute left in the second quarter after Tyrod Taylor had gotten banged up. His leg was hurt. His back was hurt. He had a lot of trouble. And, you know, when Baker took the helm, he just turned the tide of the game. When he entered the game, they were down 14-0, the Browns were, and before halftime, he marched them down the field to kick a 45-yard field goal. He did not kick it. You'd imagine that he did everything in this game, but, you know, his first drive, he comes in and he he gets points on the board. He helps the team get points on the board. And then two drives later, he comes in with a 27. He drives him down the field again in the third quarter and gets another field goal. And then he didn't throw a touchdown in this game, but he continued to lead this team. He went 17 for 23, including three drop passes for 201 yards, no interceptions. And then he also caught a two-point conversion on a little Cleveland special out there. And so after the game, Hugh Jackson was asked about his quarterback situation and if he was ready to make a change at quarterback, and he said he needs to look at the tape. Well, let me help you out, Hugh. Yes, make the change at the quarterback. You can look at these stats. Tyrod Taylor went 4 for 14 with 19 yards in the first half. That's 19 yards on 14 pass attempts and only 4 completions. Never threw the ball to the middle of the field. You can look at it on, somebody had tweeted out the Next Gen Stats passing graph, and he never threw it to the middle of the field. Baker Mayfield came in and carved them up. He's always been an accurate passer. He's still drawing his comparisons to Drew Brees and everything. And, you know, he looked like the type of quarterback that Sean Payton was excited about before the 2017 draft or 2018 draft. And, you know, I mean, look, I said last week when Jeff and I were talking, Jeff Lloyd of Locked On Browns, about how I don't want Baker Mayfield to come in and have his first game against the Saints, because I don't want the Saints to have to deal with that. They don't want that smoke. And so, you know, because he's got a lot to prove in that first game, but this was perfect. This was absolutely perfect. It was a home game, prime time, going for this first win, right? Trying to end this winless streak. They tied the first week. This was perfect. This was the perfect setup to have him out there and to get him out on that field. And then to do it from 14 points behind, by the way, and then to lead them to a 21-17 victory is just perfect. You can't ask for a better story than that. Way to go, Baker. Good work, yo. Hugh Jackson said he's going to make his decision on Monday. Get out of here, dude. Like, stop messing around. Stop playing with people. Just get Baker Mayfield out there. I mean, go ahead and check your tape. Do what you got to do. Like, I understand you're trying to protect Tyrod Taylor and not make him feel bad and not make him look bad. But you, look, Dorsey's been waiting for this. Hugh might not have been, but somebody else is going to make this call. And I expect that week 4 on, we'll be seeing the Baker Mayfield show take over the NFL. And, you know, I'd love to see them squeeze into a wild card spot. I know I'm getting crazy. I'd love to see them squeeze into a wild card spot. But you know what? You know, I mean, regardless of what happens, they can go 7-8-1. They can do whatever they want. Good on Baker, yo. I'm just excited for him. Looking forward to watching this dude's trajectory, watching his career. But most of all, shout out Cleveland. Shout out the Browns. Y'all deserve this win. Congratulations. New York, sorry for you. Sam Darnold, he ain't a bust. I mean, he played well. It's just that he was just bad situation, man. Look, whoever Baker's first game was going to be against was going to be a bad situation, and that's just what it is. So congratulations, Cleveland. Shout out, everybody. Enjoy that W. Some other news from around the league that I just want to touch on real quick right now. Over for the Jacksonville Jaguars, both Leonard Fournette and Jalen Ramsey are listed as questionable ahead of Sunday's game. Those are two playmakers that you don't want to be losing right away, early in the season. But, you know, the other part of it is that it guarantees longevity to just take the time and let it sort of let them simmer. So now you've got Devontae Freeman and Deion Jones are out for the Falcons. You've got Leonard Fournette and Jalen Ramsey, who are questionable for the Jags. You've got Dalvin Cook and Emerson Griffin, who won't play Sunday for the Vikes and Bills game. There's a lot of just duos out there right now that aren't doing, you know, that aren't able to hold up at the moment. But, you know, again, everybody's playing it comfortable. Everybody's playing it safe. And I think that it's the right way to go about it. Marshawn Lattimore made a big claim this week saying that the Saints must turn around this embarrassing defense. It's not actually that big a claim. I think everyone is excited to hear him say that, because there's a self-realization in the Saints defensive locker room right now about what the defense looks like versus what they want to look like. And eventually they're going to right the ship, and this is absolutely the week to do it. So with that, I'm going to let y'all be. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Enjoy that Saints game. Let's come back Monday, talk about a big W in Atlanta. Looking forward to this. Can't wait to see the defense perform, the offense perform, and the special teams perform all in the same game. My fingers are crossed. My toes are crossed. If I could cross my ears, I'd cross them. Eyes are crossed. Y'all just give me a little bit. I'm going to twist my nose around just to cross my nose, because I want to see this happen. So thank you, everybody, so much for tuning in. I will see y'all next week. We'll We'll have our usual crossover Wednesday with the hosts of Locked On Giants. So look out for that. And then, of course, we'll review this Saints-Falcons game, win or loss, and then preview that Giants game. Got some exciting stuff coming up for y'all down the pipeline. Thank you so much for joining me, and thank you so much for coming through. Once again, I am Ross Jackson. You can find me on Twitter at RossJacksonASC. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and them. Find Locked On Saints on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever it is that you find your podcast. Just be sure to subscribe so that you know when the newest episode drops every Monday through Friday. Rate, review, share, like, favorite, retweet, all of that. Thank you so much for the support. This has been Locked On Saints, and trust, Who Dat Nation?
Yeah.
I'll holla at you.